Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Tonight is our discussion show, and tonight's topic is going to be dream visits and premonitions through dreams. I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould, as usual. Happy to see you both. And the beautiful Frances. And
wow.
All right.
It's the NyQuil that I've been taking, Tom.
No,
it's heaven.
Well, I just want to equal out and beautiful Tom and beautiful Tom.
And it's a topic seriously that so many people like to talk about, and this is a call-in show, so we want to hear your experiences, so you can share that with our listenership. So before we get going, Fran, bring us up to date and. We'll get up to date.
Okay. Well, it is December, and while some of us are not too thrilled with the holidays being here because there's someone missing, still shopping needs to be done. So we're going to ask you to remember us when you're doing your holiday shopping and to go to Amazon.com, or if you go to Amazon.com, to use the Amazon link from the Forever Family Foundation website to get to Amazon, and then everything you put in your shopping cart will have a donation generated to Forever Family Foundation from Amazon.com. So we would love you to remember to do that. If you're going to be shopping on Amazon, think of us first. Go to ForeverFamilyFoundation.org, click on the Amazon link there, and then go to Amazon. And again, if you're not shopping on Amazon, that's fine too. Sign up with iGive.com, name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, and then you can shop in their over 1,500 online stores that you're definitely going to be shopping in this December, like the Apple Store and Cheap Tickets, Fandango, Hanes, J. Crew, Nordstrom, Old Navy, Petco, and Priceline. So you're going to go to these stores anyway. Sign up with iGive.com. It will immediately notice on your computer or your Android or whatever you're using that you have signed up with iGive and that you have named Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And whatever you buy in those stores will also generate a donation to us. And quite frankly, this is how we pay our bills. So please, please, please remember us, not just December, but the other 11 months of the year as well. Now, getting on to our events, we have our Holidays Past raffle drawing. It's going to be December 23rd. That's very soon. And as of this moment, and I've just checked, there are only 69 people who have entered this raffle where you can win up to 5 medium readings. So we're going to draw 5 winners, and there's only 69 people and 5 prizes. You do the math, then go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and get into this raffle, because your chances are fabulous. Next, our Holidays Past events. This year, we're in 5 locations. On this Saturday, don't miss Natick, Massachusetts. We have 2 mediums for you. Doc Neil Zapowski, who has not been at one of our events in a while, so this is a big treat. If you could get to Natick and see Doc Neil in his greatest mediumship, I didn't know what to call it, and he will be joined also by Angelina Diana at this venue. Angelina also has blessed us with doing several other venues for us. She's going to be in Plainview the following Saturday on the 13th, and on December 20th, she's going to be in Fort Myers, Florida, conducting Holidays Past. Also, we have 2 more events next Saturday. We have a Holidays Past in Bethel, Connecticut with our adorable and loving Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero. and our, what am I skipping? Oh, Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, with two also fabulous mediums, Janet Nohavik and Joe Scheel. So don't miss any of those. If you're in the area, sign up now. Get your seats ahead of time. You'll save yourself some bucks. And just everything is on foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all your links, information, and registration. And finally, if you're a business and you're listening to this show and you'd like to advertise to our listeners, contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or you could call the office at 631-425-7707. Okay, now we can have our show.
So on the subject of dreams, it's a lifeline for so many people, don't you think? That's what the most common form of after-death communication that they report, that their loved ones come to visit in dreams. And also, having nothing to do with the afterlife, people seem to have these experiences, these precognitive experiences, where they see some future event, and oftentimes that event comes into play. So I was reading something the other day, a statistic that said that about 90% of our precognitive dreams involve somebody that we know that's close to us, like a family member. So when you, I think that may apply to all dreams. Like if you think back upon dreams that you've had, do they usually involve people that you know?
Oh,
like dreams in general.
You're looking at me, Bob, and I can't answer that. How about you, Tom? I think you've talked about in being in entertainment, it's people you.
Yeah, I can remember a couple of precognitive dreams that had nothing to do with family members. So, you know, I've told them on this show before, but I guess since it's the topic tonight, and I can reiterate, one of them was I guess it was around early 80s that I was living in Nashville, and I was home for the holidays, and had a flight booked to go back to Nashville, and I had a dream about being on an airplane and trying to take off, and it wasn't getting up. You know, you could see the houses around us, and it actually didn't get up. It hit a bridge. And of course, I was thinking, oh, man, I don't want to get on an airplane. But then a few days later, there was a plane crash in Washington, D.C., where the plane had iced up, and it crashed into the Potomac. And, you know, Reagan was president at the time. There was some guy who dove into the river and helped save people, and then at the inaugural or at the State of the Union, he was honored. But so that was a precognitive dream, nothing to do with, and it didn't even include me in it.
Right.
And then, of course, my biggie is I remember in early August of 1977, I was in my dream walking down the street. It seemed like New York City, St. Mark's Place, or something like that, where some of the stores, you go down steps from the main street, and the store is down a few steps. And I was walking by one, and one of these things was filled with flowers. And so I walked over to it, and I looked in, and I saw a white casket in amongst all these flowers. And I asked somebody in the street, I said, "No, that's a pretty public place for a funeral, you know, who's in the casket?" And the guy said, "It's Elvis Presley." And 2 weeks later, Elvis died, was buried in a white casket in a very public funeral. So, again, that was precognitive. Nobody I knew.
Yeah. Sometimes, and those played out, and you had the evidence, you know. Sometimes you, like, for instance, last night I had a dream, and in the dream was a pretty ordinary dream, but the part I remember was that I was driving in my car, and then in front of me I noticed somebody driving the other car who was a close friend of mine that I grew up with and I went to college with, but I sort of lost touch with him over the past decades. And there was nothing unusual about the dream, except that I was trying to get his attention. I was actually pulled up next to him and was rapping on his window and doing everything to try to get him to notice me. So, you know, when I woke up, I said, well, should I be trying to make contact with him? Was this some sort of a precognitive thing that, you know, and
he may call you.
And the chances are it's nothing. It's just it may have me be rehashing. I mean, we were close friends, you know, just it could be nothing.
Yeah, but why now?
Yeah.
Why now? It's a gazillion years.
I know, but those things happen to you all the time? I mean,
end up being attached to something. I had a bizarre dream the other night and didn't take the time to write it down yet, but it also involved a car and driving, except in the car, the four of us in the car were fooling around, like, you know, you wouldn't do in a car unless maybe you were a crazy teenager.
Uh-huh.
You know, we were all fooling around in the car. But on the GPS on this car, you could see where your car was going. So every time my eye caught that we were going out of the lane, I would grab the steering wheel, even though I wasn't the driver, and put us back where we belonged. But eventually, we went out of the lane, and then there was oncoming traffic, which then crashed into our car. But we didn't all die. We were still watching this whole thing on this GPS. So to me, what was that all about? But it was so real, and it has stuck with me since the other night that, you know, are we all really not really of, that was what I walked away with. We're really not of this world, and we can watch everything going on from a safe place.
Well, yeah, that's a great message, actually, yeah.
Well, I guess before we start taking calls, we'll go to a break. And we come back, we encourage you, if you've had a dream visit or a precognitive or a premonition, give us a call. Tell us about it. Our number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're going to go to our break, and we're going to talk to you in a few minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about dream visits and dream premonitions and precognition, and we welcome your calls. Actually, why don't we go to it?
We have a caller in waiting. We have Joan.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Joan. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Did you have a dream that you'd like to share?
Yes, this was a very, very unusual one. I lost my husband on May 18th of this year, and I had been trying to make contact with him. And I meditate every day, half for years, and I thought that that would bring possibly a connection. But I went to sleep on September 23rd, and I was deep in a dream when all of a sudden I hear my husband singing Dream a Little Dream of Me, which is one of my favorite songs that I have on my iPod. And I said, Bill, is that you? And he said, yeah, hon. He said, look, I want you to do something.
Ooh.
Pardon?
What's that?
Oh, hello?
I'm going, ooh.
Yeah, continue. Go on.
Oh, okay. So I said, he said, I want you to do something. Now listen to me. I want you to download this story. I said, what story? He said, The Girl on the Stairs. And I said, where am I supposed to download it? And he said, go on Amazon and it won't cost you anything. So I'm still, you know, my eyes are shut. I'm still laying there, but I'm not sleeping. At this point, I'm kind of shaking. And I said, all right, when I get up. He said, no, now you'll forget. Well, I had my iPad right next to me because I had been reading. So I turn on the light. It's 4:48 in the morning. I go and get onto Amazon, and I type in Girl on the Stairs, and I'm thinking, oh, there probably isn't even anything with that name. Well, to my surprise, there were four. Three books and one short story. But the three books were all different authors and different prices. But the short story, because I'm Amazon Prime, would be nothing. So I figured that has to be the one. So I downloaded, and at this point I couldn't go back to sleep. I had to see what this was all about. And I start reading. It was a very short story, but it was about this couple that move into the house with their daughter. And they're sitting and talking to their daughter at the breakfast table, and they're telling her that she can go any place in the house but the fourth floor. That night, she hears a noise. She comes out, and she sees a little girl wandering around, and she said, oh, my God, that must be a ghost. Well, the next morning at the breakfast table, she tells her parents, and they kind of look at each other, and they sent her upstairs. a few minutes later, this other little girl comes walking down the stairs. Hi, Mom. And the mother says, come here, we have to talk to you. And she said, you're going to have to be careful. The ghost is watching you. That was the last line, the ghost is watching you. Well, of course, I got the meaning because she said, you'll understand everything when you read this. She said, it'll explain everything. Well, to me, it explained that he's around and he's watching me.
Absolutely.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah, and what an inventive way of getting the message across to you.
And it won't cost you a thing.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
I guess you don't have any.
I know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
He leaves me things all the time.
Yeah.
I had said, I was a little disappointed. I figured, we're going to have a relationship. He's going to be, coming to me every night in my dreams, and he didn't. And I was getting very frustrated. And I was walking one morning, and I said, I had been reading books after that, and they say that sometimes they'll leave feathers or pennies or dimes, things like that. I said, well, if you can come to me in my dreams, at least leave me a white feather. Well, I didn't walk 10 minutes. All of a sudden, I look down, and there's a white feather right in front of me.
Love it.
5 minutes later, I picked up another one, okay? I come back home, and I'm on Facebook. I pick up my iPad, and I go on Facebook, and I pass this BBC recording. It was a video, and it said, if you've missed this, you have to watch it. Well, it was this orchestra of all different musical arts is singing a Beach Boys song. I forget the name now. But at the end, just at the end, you see this white feather floating across the stage, and it lands right on the baby grand piano, and the camera just pans in onto the white feather.
Wow.
Okay.
That's amazing.
And I just sat there. I mean, I was amazed. I just am so amazed. I mean, my husband and I were only married 13 years when he died, but we had both been widowed. Mm-hmm. And we only had 13 years together, and the last three he had Parkinson's. I had to put him in a nursing home. But we saw each other every day, and we had a very, very close relationship, and we both believed in the afterlife. We both believed that there is something after.
Hmm.
And I think that has a lot to do with making a connection is believing. If you believe that this is possible, I think your chances of connecting with a loved one is much easier.
Joan, are you able to share this with many friends? Do you have like-minded friends?
I have a few. You know something? You have to be careful because I've always had some psychic ability. What you're talking about, precognitive dreams. I had once been hypnotized to go back to a past life. And what happened is right after... He brought me under. He told me to find a comfortable room to be in. And he said, have you found a comfortable room? And I said, yes. He said, describe it. And I said, well, there are French doors. He said, all right, open the doors. What do you see? I said, a red brick terrace, a lot of red flowers. I said, and there's a tree with a bird feeder and a red bird at the feeder. So... then after that, he took me back to a former life. Well, I had this all on tape. During this period, my husband got transferred. We were living in Austin, Texas, and he got transferred to Naples, Florida, and he had to leave right away. So he left for Florida, and I stayed behind to sell the house, which I sold a month later, and he bought another house without my ever seeing it.
Oh.
He just called me one Sunday and said, I found a house. I'm sure you're going to love it. I said, all right, buy it. So We go and move. Here I'm moving into a house I have never seen. I move in. I have all these packing boxes and everything, and I'm sitting at the in the family room drinking my morning coffee, and I was thinking, God, how lucky I am he picked such a beautiful house. And I'm just staring out the French doors in my family room, and all of a sudden I said, oh, my God. And I called in. I said, Sonny, bring me those tapes I have on my dresser and my recorder and come right in here. He brought them in. I said, I want you to play this tape. He had never heard it. And he played the tape, and he just looked at me. And he said, when was this tape made? I said, a year ago. He said, you described this house. When you opened the French doors, there was a red brick terrace with red geraniums all over. There was a tree with a feeder, a burr feeder. And as we're sitting there, what brought my attention was there had been a red bird sitting at the feeder. And I had made this tape a year before.
So rather than it being a past life regression, it almost is like a future life, something.
Yes, well, no, what I'm saying is before he took me into a past life, I was under hypnosis, and he asked me to picture myself in the room. He said, every time you come here, you're going to go back to this room. This is where you feel the most comfortable.
Well,
so in my mind, that was the room I was in. And, I thought it was beautiful. And here my husband goes and buys this house sight unseen.
Yeah.
And it's the house that I had seen a year before.
Yeah. Funny how these things
I've
work.
I've had other... Yeah. But you were talking about what made me talk about this. You had asked me if I could talk to my friends. Well, a lot of my friends are scientists and retired professors, and you know, a lot of them are agnostic, a lot of them are atheists, and they don't believe in anything, you know. And we were out to dinner one night, and my husband started to tell the story. And they just looked at me like I had lost my mind. And the woman that we were out with said, she said, there has to be another explanation. I mean, what other explanation could there possibly be?
You're right.
Exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. And by the way, the song that you're referring to, the Beach Boys song, was God Only Knows. It's a new video.
God Only Knows, yes. Yeah. And if you look at the video, you know what I'm talking about, because there's a feather that floats right across the screen in the end. You see angels all over, and then this white feather just floated across the stage and landed on the piano. Yeah. I just was, I mean, here after picking up three white feathers while I'm walking, and all I said is, if you're still around, just leave me a white feather.
And he did. Joan, thanks so much for telling us all of these experiences. And if anybody knows that your loved ones survive, it's you. So thanks
That's
so
right.
much. We hope.
Okay, thank you.
Take care
okay,
now.
Bye.
Bye.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Nice. Great
Absolutely
story.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you want to take another caller now?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, we have Renee on line three.
Okay. Hello, Renee. Hi, Renee.
Don't walk away, Renee.
We want to hear your story.
Okay. You know, when we were talking about people say premonitions and precognition. Is there a difference?
Yeah.
You know, what I've read, well, the way I don't necessarily understand or subscribe to it, but people say that premonitions are more feelings, you know, more vague, whereas a precognitive would be something like you described before, you know, with specific symbols and
which
know,
makes
vision.
Sense. Yeah. The word cognitive is knowing.
Right.
So you know, a precognitive is something that's definite, you know it, and whereas a premonition does sound like intuition, it's a
right.
more of a
What about, did you ever think that, like, when people talk about having a deja vu, that maybe they are recalling a precognitive dream that they had?
Ah, oh, that's interesting.
That's a great explanation.
You know, we don't necessarily remember all of our, I mean, a dream visit, people tend to never forget, or a precognitive dream that's significant, like Tom described from 1977, it was like it happened, you know, yesterday.
Right, and but it's still vivid. I mean, I remember it.
But some of them are not at all. You know, so when you have that feeling, that deja vu feeling, you know, that could be, you know.
I don't know. When I'm having a deja vu, I have it often. When I have a deja vu, I feel like I am between this world and another world.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not really here, and I'm one step behind watching it unfold.
Well, my brother is a neurologist, MD, PhD, and he told me that deja vu is a... it's when you're not getting enough oxygen to the brain, and it so you're seeing something, but it's not registering in your brain till a second later. So it looks familiar when you actually see it, you know, in quotations, and see it in your mind, that you're going through, but your mind is just that, as Fran said, a second or two behind, and that. That's how he explained deja vu. But, you know, that's...
How would he explain, as a man of science, near-death experiences and death-by vision?
Lack of oxygen.
Well, you know, he comes from a very conservative background, which I don't, and we're brothers, but that's another story altogether. But... I was the rebel in the family, but my family was...
No. Hard to believe.
Yes. And you know, when we got into this taking our mom to mediums and that sort of thing, you know, the other side of the family was kind of like, you know, what are you bringing all the mumbo-jumbo and stuff?
Right.
And he was in New York visiting, and we put on a video that we had taped of Laura Lynn Jackson giving my mom a reading. And at the end of it, first of all, he had tears flowing down the face. And second, I said, okay, as a doctor, as a scientist, you know, how do you explain this? And he looked at me and said, there really is no other explanation. You know, what I've seen and what I, right here and now, and couldn't have happened any other way.
He's so totally open-minded.
He's now
an open-minded skeptic, which is good.
Exactly, and which we all should be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, don't go blindly either way. You know, the people who say, oh, it's all bunk, and, you know, anything you tell me is a lie,
right,
is wrong. And the people who say, it's absolute, you know, don't, you know, be sacrilegious to say otherwise. And that's not healthy either. What is healthy is to keep an open mind.
Absolutely. You can't be a scientist without keeping an open mind. You have to just follow what the data shows. And it's good to see people in that world that are don't shut things out simply because they don't have an explanation for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. We've got Renee back, so let's take Renee. She's on line two.
Okay. Hello, Renee.
Hi. How are you, Fran?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. I saw that your segment is on dreams, so I'm on my cell phone, but I really wanted to connect and just give you a little bit of, you know, I mean, Stephen made his transition. It's actually going to be, not, I can't mean, it's 9 years, going to be 9 years, 2006. And there's been, like, with dreams, it sort of changed over the years. In the beginning, I had very vivid dreams where I saw him actually in very bright light, and it was always around a special occasion like my birthday, and, you know, I saw him actually walking and then turning and seeing his face just like I remembered him. And that was, you know, very bright light. In the very beginning when he first passed, I actually had a dream, and he was at my bedside wearing a white robe. And, you know, I saw the window get very dark, but I was, you know, I was dreaming, and I saw his hand going back and forth, and actually, you know, the way he used to touch my face, when he was a child. And that was, you know, maybe a month or two after he passed. But the other night, I had a dream. Now, it is 9 years, and I was having some difficulty with a business deal that I was involved in, and I was forewarned by Stephen that it was going to happen. Maybe it was about a week before it happened, and I actually saw him. It was really interesting. I was dreaming. I saw Stephen, and in front of him was muddy water. And then it was almost like I saw myself fall down. So to me, because I've become very intuitive over the years with all the afterlife encounters that I've experienced, the muddy water told me that something was going to happen. And it did. It did. And it was amazing because I haven't seen him in a dream in many, many years. It's more like telepathy. And the other night, he actually came to me. I saw his face in the white light. I was dreaming. And through telepathy, I heard, "Hi, Mom." And it was as clear as day. It was my voice was coming to me. And that's really how I communicate now, is through telepathy, and I feel his energy. I'm able to vibrate. And, you know, I think he just comes down and I'm able to vibrate and meet him, you know, because it's all frequency, it's all vibration.
Yeah. Well, that also it also shows people that even though it's been 9 years, that your loved ones are always able to communicate, you know. So just because physical time has elapsed, it doesn't mean you're not going to hear from them.
And that they're still around.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
And it's when you need them. You know, I find now it's really special occasions, and when I'm having a difficult time, I feel him more. But, you know, the other night was unbelievable. That's the first time it's really happened in a long time. And I heard, "Hi, Mom," in telepathy.
Well, that's wonderful.
So,
I think it's great. Thanks for sharing. We're gonna go to a break, but Renee, thanks for calling in, and thanks.
Nice hearing from you, Renee.
My pleasure, and happy holidays.
Thank you. You too, Renee. Take care. We're gonna go to a break, and when we come back, we're gonna take more calls and talk about dream visits. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world.
Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And we're back. This is The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about dream visits and precognitive dreams. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We have
another caller. We have Brian on line 4.
Okay. Hello, Brian.
Yes. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Nice to talk to you again.
Yes. Thank you. I love those two stories right before me. Terrific.
Yeah, I know you've had a bunch of stories, too. First, how are you feeling?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Glad to hear it. So,
if I can just dive in with a story about my Grandma Kramer, my dad's mother. When she passed away back in 1986, she and I had always been very, very close my entire life. And just 1 month after she died, I had a dream that was so vivid in which she and I were running to each other and we hugged. And when I woke up, I told my parents, I called them, I said, you know, Grandma has visited me and I know it because the intensity of this intimacy is beyond any human experience. It was just something that I couldn't even imagine. And I'm confident that she did visit me.
Nice.
And what was the reaction of your parents?
Well, I think that they thought that was nice. I don't know that they're convinced it was really her, but, they smiled and thought that was nice.
Yeah.
I have to tell you something about a precognitive dream I just had about 8 months ago. Actually, I'm going to call it a telepathic dream because I'm a musician at a church, and in my dream, I'm performing, and my mother's in the congregation. This is just a dream, and she's trying to get my attention, and I notice that she's waving her arms around to try to get me to look at her, and I'm performing. I can't be looking at her, and so in frustration, she yells my name, and the moment she yells my name, my phone wakes me up, and I just knew, of course, it was her, and of course it was, and she actually never called me in the mornings because I had told her, don't call me. I get up late. And she just happened to break the rule that morning. But I am just so convinced that telepathically she was trying to get my attention, and finally she called, and it all happened like that.
Sure sounds like that to me.
Good.
You know, Brian, I just wanted to get back to the other dream that you had a minute, that you told us before with your grandmother. Did you have a close relationship with your grandmother before she passed?
Oh, very, very. Ever since I was a child, she was always had a lot of anxiety and worry, and I did too. And I used to share with her, and she just always empathized because we were kind of similar beings.
So it makes sense that if she was going to visit somebody, you'd be the person to go to right off the bat.
Well, I like to think so. I'm sure she loved everybody, but yes, I think that would be, yeah.
The other thing that I was interested in is the way you described it, that the way that you knew because of the intensity of the emotion that was certainly not physical. Because, I mean, that's the way that people describe life in the other world, like they describe, sounds and smells and you know, sights, all is, you know, indescribable, you know, ineffable. And
yes, yes.
And that's pretty much what you expect, you know. Medium describe it a different way, but it, was that you?
May I quick, yeah. Just one more quick little one?
Yeah.
When I was 7 or 8, I had a dream that I was walking on a bridge, and suddenly the bridge had collapsed in front of me, but I didn't realize there was no second half of the bridge, and I fell off the end. And I grabbed the edge of the bridge with my hands, and I struggled to pull myself back up, and I managed to get myself back up on the bridge. The next day, I was walking around the top of a swimming pool, but it's a irrigation ditch. I grew up on a farm, and it's raised above the ground about 3.5 feet. I was walking along. I had forgotten the dream, and I slipped, and I grabbed the edge of the thing, and I struggled to pull myself back up to the top, and as I'm struggling, I knew that dream just hours before was exactly the feeling, experience, everything before that. And so that was the first one when I was 7 or 8.
Wow. So you've had a history of intuitive experiences that fortunately you didn't sounds like you embraced them. You didn't dismiss them as a lot of people would.
Can I ask something, Brian?
No. I'm excited about it.
Do you keep a dream journal?
You know, I don't, just because, I don't know, it takes more effort than I want to put out, and I trust that they'll keep coming, and I don't need to kind of hang on to them. If they're worth remembering, I'll remember them.
Well,
but that's just me. I'm not judging other people to do it, you know.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm the same way. I have a dream journal next to my bed, and I've put in maybe 2 entries, but I don't want to put in the time. But people who have, certainly since you have shown a proclivity for this, the dream experts say that even though the dream you might have tonight or tomorrow doesn't strike you as being important and doesn't come up, if you keep a dream journal, the cumulative story that the journal will tell can be a great insight to you in a lot of different ways as far as guidance and that sort of thing.
Yes, yes. Back in the 80s, I had years of really bizarre apocalyptic dreams, but I was a fundamentalist Christian back then, which I'm not at all now. I don't even call myself a Christian, but I was having regular dreams about tornadoes and hurricanes and floods and tsunamis and all kinds of crazy stuff, but it felt so real to me back then, but those have stopped. I haven't had those for probably 15 years now.
Hmm. But that weather is happening now.
Well, 15 years ago, yeah, you had a big tsunami.
Well, I haven't had any tsunamis lately.
No. So
wow.
Let's see, Brian, you were ahead of your time.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having this program. I really enjoy it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a good night.
All right.
Bye-bye. Do you ever think that when you have a precognitive dream, that somehow you're sending these signals out to the universe that makes it happen? That, you know, that you're actually kind of collapsing the wave, so to speak, you know, and so that what you dreamed of comes into fruition, and if you hadn't dreamed it, it wouldn't have happened.
Like Elvis might still be alive.
Yeah,
that's funny. I don't think so.
You killed Elvis?
It couldn't be, because as you see, dream after dream after dream, Joan told us, and Renee told us, and Brian told us, and Tom told us, they're not exact.
Right.
So there's no way for you to put it out there and make it happen, because it's giving you just a little glimpse. And I love the way Brian described that, falling into that that waterway or that ditch, as having the sensation, the telepathic sensation matched.
Right.
And I've had very many of those situations where I had a dream and then I had an experience that was nothing like the dream, but the experience matched it.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bridge in real life, but the falling and the grabbing hold was exact.
It's exactly the same thing.
You know, you're making me think of when you, I say you here at the gathering, help me try to understand, and I do, on the other side, that here time is linear, but on the other side it's not. So the things you're describing sound like things that would be seen on the other side because it's not in a sequential order.
Right, you're watching it happen, and then in, when you go back to your linear time, it happens down the road a piece. I agree with that. And, you know, I'm not totally dismissing what Bob said because a lot of what I'm reading now talks, Deepak Chopra and talks about putting the intention out there, and then what you think is what becomes. So there is a line on that you could follow,
mm-hmm.
And because they say, you know, be careful what you think because what you reap, so shall you sow.
Thoughts can be real things, you know, real. It's real energy, and it can have positive or negative effects. A lot of people ask, well, how do I know if I had a dream visit? You know, and I guess a good answer is, if you're questioning whether you have it, you probably didn't. You know, because if you have it, you'll know. You know, because it has it. We were talking about before, a different energy, a different feel, a different reality to it. So it's clear, it's tangible. It's so, you know, it's different than the regular dream. So.
Yeah, I've had a couple, and Brian's story brings it home, is that the dream visits seem to be much more vivid, and as he mentioned with his grandmother, that it was more intense than just a regular dream. And the two visits that I recall, I still recall, one was 20 years ago and one was 10 years ago, and
right.
I could have had them last night. I still remember them that way.
And the visits, they're purposeful, right? I mean, there's a reason that you're getting them. You know, it's not random. There's your loved one wants to get a message through in a way that you will not question. You know, question it. You know, and it's it's not regular dreams can be random, it's disjointed, but a visit is not. It has a meaning, it has a purpose. And sometimes it sounds like it's well planned out, you know, like some of the things that you described. So with that, I know we're reaching the end. You want to bring us back with our healing energy prayer?
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Andrea, Richard, Brian, Karen, David Mello, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen LaFada, Wendy Lippo, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Tom Donahue, Doug Berry, Philip McPhee, Tracy Bray, Donna Mello, Kim Saavedra, Rachel Skandarian, Jeanette Davies, Miriam Pierschka, Julie Byshell, Barbara Patillo, Ann Hutchinson, David Haith, Rita Springer, Mark Barron, Vicki Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Eddie Roll, James Rafferty, and Arthur and Bernice Goforth. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.